try to raise the funds to do the Lord's work. Some have chicken suppers, some have pancake breakfasts, and some have ice cream socials. And in my years of experience, I find they're as dead as a chicken, flat as a pancake, and as cold as the ice cream. I'm not here just particularly to talk about the aspects of money. I'm talking about grace this morning. Now, I know we always relate grace to salvation. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. But did you know that your ability to give is also a divine act of God's grace towards you as an individual? Grace has been defined as unmerited favor. And so we remind ourselves again, God chose not to give you and me what we deserve. That's mercy. God chose to give us what we can't deserve, could never deserve, and that is grace. And so when you and I think about giving and ministering to the needs of the kingdom of God throughout the world, and evangelism, we know that giving has to be a divine act of grace. It's unmerited. In other words, they're not of a need for, or they don't deserve it as such. It is a gift that you and I, by our grace, give to ministries and to people, to individuals, and etc. If it's unmerited, then it's unearned. They didn't do anything to earn it. It's given by our own divine free will. Giving always in God's word is an act of the free will of people. The Bible says, give as you have purposed in your heart. And so as you and I see grace as it's given in 2 Corinthians 8:9, Paul uses the word grace 11 times. Now, it may not be as it is worded as grace, but the Greek word, as it is charisma, comes out of the same context. In other words, the word is translated in 8 and 9 as favor, as generosity, a work of graciousness, virtue, thanks, or grace, and generosity. So as we evaluate what he says here and what you and I have had read for us this morning, we look at these terminologies, and it says, verse 8, chapter 8, verse 1, now, brethren, we wish to make known to you what? What does he want them to know? The grace of God. Get it? So this message is on the grace of God. It's not on giving. It's on the grace of God. It's for us to understand what God's grace is all about. Because God's grace extends far beyond your salvation. Every aspect of your being is a divine act of grace in your individual life. If you've been gifted, it's because God graced you with that gift. If you have received anything that you could categorize as good, because every good gift comes down from our Father of lights, and there's no shadow, no turning with Him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The immutability of God, the unchanging nature of God, is a process that you and I interrelate with. So, first of all, then, what do we see? It says here that in great ordeal of affliction, verse 2, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. So the grace of God was extended to the church at Macedonia. And he's using it as an example to encourage the Corinthians to also follow that example, if you will, in the aspect of their giving and using them in perspective in relationship to that. So any form of being generous is a form of grace, and it's called generosity, and it is an act of grace. Anytime you're generous, you give beyond what is anticipated, that is an act of grace, isn't it? Yeah, it is. And so as he writes in 8 chapter, verse 6, notice what he says here. In the 6th verse, he says, so we urge Titus that he had previously made a beginning, so he would also complete in you this gracious work as well. And so it is a work of grace. Titus was sent there to complete that work of grace in the church at Corinth. And it's there that they would be generous and graciously give, as did the Macedonian, and they would follow that example and give as well. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24, 25, that principle was said a long time ago through Solomon. Solomon said these words in Proverbs 11, 24, 25, "There is one who scatters and yet increases all the more." In other words, there's one who just sows, like sowing the wheat. He scatters as he does. And as he scatters, he increases in his ability to scatter, if you will. But then he goes on and says, "There is one who withholds, keeps it, what is justly due, and yet its result is only ends up in more want." More want. You see, the generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. Now read it, it's there, it's right in black and white, it's in your Bible. So the one who scatters is going to what? It's going to return to him and have just that much more and the more. The Bible says, as a man sows, also shall he reap. And if you sow sparingly, we'll see that next time, you reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully, okay? That's the principle that God is laying out here. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters himself will be watered. He will be watered. Luke 6:38, Jesus said, "Give, and it will be given to you. Pressed down, overflowing, poured over into your lap. Because by the same measure you measure it out, it'll be measured back to you." The principle is clear. When the city of Jerusalem was overwhelmed by Jews and the kingdom had its beginning on Pentecost, thousands of Jews came from all over the world to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. They didn't come prepared to stay a few months. They came there to celebrate and then to turn and go back home. But as you know, the gospel was preached. Over 3,000 men and more gladly received the word and were baptized, and the kingdom had its beginning. Later, it numbers them in the 5,000s. How in the world were these people? I mean, they didn't have Cheddar's, McDonald's, Burger King on every corner. You understand that, don't you? How were they going to feed? How were they going to be taken care of? What was going to happen within the setting that was now taking place in this major element of the introduction of the kingdom into the world? Well, in Acts 2 and verse 44, this is what it says. The early church had to have seen the need. And all those who had believed were together, had all things in common. They began selling their property and possessions and were sharing with all as everyone had need. That's what it says, Acts 2:44. Now, this is not a movement of communism and socialism. This was a free act of the early church. They saw the need. They saw all these early Christians gathered there. They saw that they didn't come prepared to stay. Why were they just going to stay? Well, because these are all new Christians. And in Acts 2:42, it says they were going to continue steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. They had to be taught. They had to be taught and then grounded in the Word of God. Now, it wouldn't take long because these people are Jews. They were raised under the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant, someone has said, is the New Testament revealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Okay, good, Bill, you did that one. All right. The point is that these men, these people converted there, already were grounded in belief in God. They already knew there was a coming Messiah. They knew that was the promise. And so when it was preached to them and they heard Peter preaching that this Jesus, whom they crucified, was both Lord and Christ, they were pierced in their hearts and cried out, "What must we do?" The kingdom had its beginning. Thousands were there in Jerusalem and they would have needed to have food. They would have needed to be cared for. And those who had the ability to take care of those needs were even willingly, graciously willing to sell their property so that they could take care of the needs. That's all. But it wasn't that a divine act of grace? Wasn't that the grace of God moving in the lives of these early Christians to meet the need that was there right there in front of them? You bet it was. You bet it was. Secondly, the grace of God is the source of generosity. Not only is generosity a work of grace, but the grace of God is the means by which we are able to be generous. I think we look at money from the wrong perspective. Everything you have and every breath you take is a gift of God's grace. It's a gift of God's grace to you. You should see nothing as it belongs to you. You have been given a stewardship of it. It actually, all things belong to God. He owns the cattle. He owns the mountain. He owns the gold. He owns everything. It's all here. But He is willing and had, by His grace, blessed you and put so much of the element of your needs into your hands to be a good steward of it. But what God is willing to do is He's willing to make His grace abound to those who are willing to be generous. Remember, the man had a great crop, and so what did he decide to do? Well, he was going to build bigger barns that he could, as it is, store up all of what he had gotten. And Jesus said what? Jesus said, thou fool, today, your soul's going to be required of you, and then who's all of these things going to belong to? You see, what is being, I believe, the principle that is taught in grace is grace is always an eternal principle. And therefore, when I give and I'm giving to God, giving to meet the needs of other people, that gift is an eternal gift. It isn't just meeting the moment. The $30,000 you sent down to Mexico, people, is not just a gift of what you gave. God gave it. I said God gave it through us. We were simply a means and a vessel through which He has blessed us and honored us with the ability to be able to give the way you give. And you give graciously, people. And when you and I give, it says here, giving relates to the grace of giving working in your heart. It has to come from your heart. As a man purposes and in his heart, let him give. You should have already, before you even walked into this building, knowing we were going to receive a love offering of God's grace, you should have already purposed and known in your heart what you were going to give to God today to be used by God's grace. You should have already known that. And you should have been able to give, as he goes on and says, look at how he says it, verses 1 and 2. Brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God, which has been given in the churches of Macedonia. No. Are you listening? That in this great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy. Oh, God loves a cheerful giver. So how many of you, when you put your offering into the offering plate, so to speak, this morning, were joyful when you did it? I mean, what is there if you and I are not and we're allowed to express the joy? I mean, what does it say? Is there attitude? It wasn't just a little joy. It was an abundance of joy that they were given an opportunity to meet the needs. Well, what's the need? Back in Judea, back in Jerusalem, back in that area, there was a drought and Christians and people were starving to death. They were not able to grow crops any longer. And so there was an offering being taken up from the churches that was going to be taken by Titus and some of the men back to that area to help those who were being and experiencing the poverty of that drought. That's what they were given. And to be able to do that, to be able to meet the needs of those people who were starving and were losing it all in Jerusalem and the area of Judea, these Christians saw it as an act of God's grace and they joyfully wanted to do it. They wanted to do it with joy. Well, you remember the 60,000 you sent over to India? Huh? Well, what do you think it's doing over there? It built how many church buildings? 4 church buildings were built by that money. How many church buildings could you build for 60,000 here in America? And how many thousands have been immersed into Christ as a result of those men being able to gather and assemble people all over the mountaintops of India? Huh? What else did it do? It helped restructure an orphanage for 60 girls who have no parents, have no way of living. They would have starved to death, would have been used whatever way, but now they have clothes, they have food, they even got bathrooms, they have showers because of that money. Wow. I mean, think of it. That's $90,000 that come out of this group of people that is making an unbelievable difference in the kingdom of God, in the lives of people. You built a church building in Mexico, $30,000 to help them finish and build and buy the property and whatever. So that every soul that's being won in India and one in Mexico through those ministries are being added to your account. That's what it says. Paul says that every dime, every dollar you give to me, and why he says he pleaded for that was so that it could be added to your account, so that every soul saw Paul was running to Christ, was going back to those who supported those ministries. Wow, what a ministry of grace. Seriously. And so they were in abundance of joy. That was their attitude. Even in deep poverty, they were not rich. They were in poverty. They overflowed in this wealth of liberality. They gave beyond their means of giving. That's what it means. So grace turns greed and selfishness into generosity and love. That's what it does. You see, when one gives and has difficulty in sharing what God has graced them with, then they are resenting the collection of God's grace. Did you understand what I just said? If you and I resent the ability and the opportunity to give, then we're resenting God's grace that He's blessed us with to give. If everything we have comes from the grace of God. You understand what I just said? You understand what I'm saying? Okay. And so, Jack is here. How many hundreds of dollars over the years has Lloyd and Nancy and this congregation given to the children's home down in Cookson Hills? Well, how many children have gone through that home? How many children were out of dysfunctional families and had nothing but thank God for someone? You see, there's parents, house parents, too, that take in, who knows, 8, 9, 10 children. And they help raise them, feed them, take care of them. But they're raised in a Christian atmosphere. How many of them have gone out and become ministers? Several have. How many have been immersed into Christ? Many have. So what? Did you know that every one of them is going into your account? You see giving as that element of that. It is a gift of God's grace, and every dollar you invest into the kingdom is a direct result of God gracing you with the ability to do that. And that He loves people, and He wants people, and He wants your heart, and He wants us. And everything you and again, what we possess, what has been granted to us, I believe, is that it is a direct result of the grace of God. I heard about a gentleman, he was kicking his furnace and using the shovel and slamming that thing, and he says, "You're not getting one more piece of coal until you give out more heat." Can't you just see that? Huh? Well, I want you to understand that giving not only has its source in God's grace, the gift itself is made possible by the grace of God. And you're a steward of God's grace. Lastly, generosity, a grace favor, and it's to be sought. You and I should be motivated by the love of God and by His grace to have and take advantage of every opportunity that comes our way to touch and to bless other people with the grace of God. Okay? Verses 3 and 4, it says, "And I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participating in the support of the saints. Can you imagine that? People literally begging and pleading. I want to help. I want to help with it. Give me an opportunity. What can I do? This is a great need, and I want to give to it. Where do I give it? I mean, can you see people actually begging, wanting, urgently, desiring to take advantage of any opportunity to take how God has graced them and share it graciously with someone who is in need? Well, with half of the world starving, going to bed starving every night, I would say there's probably a great need out there, wouldn't you? Huh? Yeah, there is. And so the point of the issue is, he says that they gave according and beyond their ability. And I'm sure many of you have done that. I have, Mel and I have. You see, sacrificial giving sometimes, if it isn't a sacrifice, sacrificial giving is a result of God's grace. And sometimes if we're not willing to sacrifice, that's a disgrace. I said that's a disgrace. Because God has really blessed us in America. We are a blessed people. We are. I'll bet you any one of you could go to your closet and it's filled with clothes you haven't worn for who knows how long. Huh? Shoes. I bet your pantry has enough food in it for a while. You may even have a storage room downstairs and whatever. And there it is. And all you're thinking of is how it's going to take care of you in the future when there are people going to bed in Lansing, Michigan and in Grand Ledge hungry every night. Really? Really? Well, yeah, they are. I give to food banks. I gave the food banks in Shalott. I worked with them when I was going over there and working. What a wonderful, unbelievable ministry they do. And how many families are fed as a result of that food bank? Hundreds of them. Oh, really? Yeah, really. And so it is with Goodwill. My problem with Goodwill is that guy's making a lot of money. I said he's a multi-millionaire through Goodwill. You understand that? All those clothes are given for nothing, sold out, and he's getting pretty good royalty. I mean, they're building pretty nice buildings now, aren't they? I think it takes a lot of money to build those buildings. I'd rather the church have a means by which we could give those clothes free to people and they not have to spend four, five, six. My wife bought a beautiful, no, I won't say it. I have to close and I'm going to. But the point of the issue is, when you and I think of God and how he has blessed us and how they were urging them for the favor of being able to participate, support the people, this is not to say that we are and we give because it's expected. I don't give because it's expected that I give as a Christian. I give because I have been given to. I have been loved like I had never have dreamed to being raised an alcoholic, dysfunctional family. I never knew love until I met Christ. And then I met my wife. I met God's people. I have never been loved like that since. I have more brothers and sisters and moms and dads in Christ today than I could have ever dreamed of having in my physical family. Well, Jesus said that, didn't he? Jesus said, no man leaves father and mother and for my sake, but gains 100-fold in this life today. I can go anywhere in the United States, you know that? I can knock on who knows whose door, and they would say, Brother Bill, what are you doing here? Come on in. And I guarantee you that a lot of them would have me stay in Maryland for dinner, and they'd put us up overnight. How's that? Isn't that what the family of God is all about? There ought to be no one in this body and no one in this area that we know is a saint and child of God that is in need without the body of Christ, Potterville, Shalott, Lansing, whatever. We, as God's people, should share generously the grace of God that he's given us, and we ought to be helping those families. And we just need to be doing that. Remember that, okay? We're going to remember that what the gift is a divine act of God's grace. Generosity is a result of God's grace. So every time I put any money, and it doesn't matter, give as you have been prospered. Right? But I want you to know there's another principle that we'll cover later. The principle is if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly, but if you're willing to extend yourself and start sowing liberally, God will bless you liberally. He really will. And I know many of you have experienced that. So, may the grace of God be upon you. And may God's grace continue to flow through this body. We should not have, nor should we ever be, any way, shape, or form, feeling any way that what money has flowed from God's grace through this body, we all should take joy in it. We ought to thank God for the opportunity that we've had to bless people in India and Mexico and the children's home and all the other things that you and I support. All that money is a result of the grace of God flowing through us and God's grace being given to those people. Amen? That's what it is. That's what it is. Let's stand together. We'll have and sing our closing hymn and have a closing prayer and just a few comments in closing. Give of your best.